rejoice and be glad in it. We are continuing our study. This is our last week dealing with having a grateful heart and a thanksgiving heart. Now I'm on. The sheets for December are on the back. If you haven't already picked one up, please do so. I'm going to do it different. This says it's a Christmas story, but I'm going to do the life of Jesus for the whole month. And so we'll start that next week. Helps if I turn it on. I want to start off this morning with one last Old Testament verse. We've looked at a few through the last 3 weeks, so I want to use this last one. This verse, or these verses, still ring true for us today. If you want to, you can turn to your Bibles to 1 Chronicles 16. We'll look at verses 8 and 9 and verse 34. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Talk of all His wondrous works. Verse 34. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. We looked at this idea in the first couple of weeks when we looked at the 12 benefits of having a gracious heart. And we talked about how having a gracious heart will make us want to share with others the things that God has given us, how God has blessed us, okay? And that's what we see here in these verses. Make known His deeds among the people. You know, talk of His wondrous works. That's what we as Christians need to do. We need to share God's mercy with us. We need to share how God has blessed us, you know? We need to remember that every single thing that we have is from God. And we need to thank Him for that. Please bear with me a few minutes while I explain what might be a little known fact. I mean, you might understand it and know about it, but to me it was a little known fact, so bear with me. There's this thing called the equilux. Not to confuse with the equinox. They are close, they're similar, but they are different. Equilux is drawn from the Latin terms for equal light. Equilux is when the sun is the same amount every day and you have the same amount of daylight as you do darkness. Okay? Here in Spokane, that occurs on March 17th and September 25th. We have an equilux day, 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of night. Okay? So why am I telling you this? Well, the equilux is going to be important in our first study that we're going to look at, the first scriptures that we're going to look at, with having a grateful heart and a thanksgiving heart. Jesus referred to the equilux in John 11, verse 9. Jesus replied, "There are 12 hours of daylight every day." Okay, read again. Why we have to know this? Just bear with me. I'm getting there. For one, it is a neat biblical fact that maybe you did know or you didn't know. Now you do. But it's also important in our next verse, in our story that we're going to look at. So if you want to, turn to Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16. Jesus is telling a parable in the first 16 verses of Matthew 20. This is the seventh and last parable that Jesus gives, where He starts off that the kingdom of heaven is like, and then He tells a story. All of the other ones that He talked about, you can find in Matthew 13, okay? And then we drop down to Matthew 20, and he gives his last and final, the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Okay? Doesn't give an exact time, just early in the morning. So I'm going to say, and again, was what Jesus said, there's 12 hours of daylight. So that's when they started their clock. They went from sunrise to sunset. Okay, it was 12 hours. And then 12 hours, of course, for nighttime. That's how they did the Sabbath. Started at dark on Friday and lasted through till dark on Saturday. Okay, whereas we go from midnight to midnight, they went from sunrise to sunset. Okay. Verse 2. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. Okay. So he's hired the first group for a denarius a day at sunrise, we'll say. And now it's been 3 hours later, the third hour, and he's gone out and he's hired more. Now, the third hour, we know there's a lot of numerical numbers that come up several times, like 40 in the Bible. The third hour is also important. Jesus was nailed to the cross on the third hour. You can read about that in Mark 15, verse 25. Okay? So, we have people being hired at noon or at the midday, or at the beginning of the day for denarius. Now, it does not say what the owner of the vineyard hired the second group at. Okay? Verse 4, and he said to them, you go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you. So they went. Okay? Now, we know that Jesus did not just say things haphazardly. Everything he said had a purpose. So as he's telling this parable, he talks about the first people being hired for a denarius, but for the second group, and we're going to see for the rest of the groups, he does not give a dollar amount. So going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing, and he said to them, why do you stand here idle all day? Okay, so he hired somebody at sunrise, he's gone to the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, and now the 11th hour. Only a day left, an hour left of sunset, of sunlight, okay? Verse 7. And they said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, will you go into the vineyard too? And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. Again, Jesus does not say things off the cuff. He knows what he's going to say and why he's going to say it. Okay, so he gives the example, this parable that he told, the vineyard owner told his foreman to bring all the laborers in that I've hired all day long and pay them what is due them, but start with the last. Why? Verse 9, and when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Okay, so the only time we hear of the money is with the first ones that he promised them a denarius to work 12 hours, but yet the ones that were hired at 11 o'clock or 11th hour only worked an hour, they're getting a denarius. Okay? Verse 10. Now when those hired first came, we don't hear about the ones that were hired on the third, the eighth, the sixth, or the ninth hour. Okay? But when the hired came first, they thought that they would receive more. Okay? Well, the guy who's, the people who only worked 1 hour got a denarius. Well, we've worked 12 hours. We should get 12 times that, you know? But each of them also received a denarius. Wait a minute, that's not fair. We worked 12 hours, they only worked 1 hour. Why are we getting paid the same? That's how we would do it, isn't it? That's how we would look at it. That's what we would demand. Verse 11, and on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house. Remind you of the children of Israel last week that we talked about? How God was giving them everything, but they grumbled about it. They wanted to do what? They wanted to go back to Egypt. You brought us out here to the desert to die. But God was trying to teach them a lesson, okay? And Jesus here is trying to teach us a lesson, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. Okay? And that's how we would look at it, isn't it? We're humans. Why in the world have I been out there all day long and I'm getting paid the same as only the people who were here for an hour? Well, Jesus explains it. But he replied to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Yeah, but you know, they only worked for an hour and you're giving them the same, but you agreed to work all day for a denarius. But no, that's what we agreed upon. Okay, verse 14, take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first, and the first last. Jesus referred to this parable as being like the kingdom of heaven. So how is this parable like the kingdom of heaven? The way I looked it up, and commentaries are all over the place, as always, as to what they think it is. I think it has to do with heaven. That's what Jesus tells us. This parable is like heaven. Okay. How many here have been baptized more than 50 years? Okay. What about 55 years? Yeah, I figured you'd raise your hand. Okay. How many here have only been baptized a year? Only one. Okay. Now, those who have been baptized over 55 years, when you were baptized, you were told that you were going to receive heaven if you lived your life, if you the way you're supposed to, if you did the will of God, you were going to get heaven. Tori was told the same thing, and she's been married less than a year. Wait a minute, that's not fair. For her to get the same heaven that, you know, that Bob's going to get. Bob, because he's been, you know, baptized over 55 years, should get at least a mansion up on a hilltop where he's looking down on everybody else. You know? You know, he should get a house that's all pure gold, whereas everybody else gets, you know, a crystal house, or, you know, go through the 12 stones that, you know, make up heaven we read about in Revelation. You know, but they shouldn't get a golem because they haven't been baptized that long. I've shared with you a story, and I'm going to share with again. Some of you might have heard it. When I was doing the We Care down in Florida, they told us of a story to where they had baptized an older gentleman. And they went out front while he was changed, and they were waiting on him to come out so we could sing happy birthday to him, as they always did. Well, he didn't come out. After about 5 or 10 minutes, they went back, and they found him laying on the floor. He had had a massive heart attack. So here you have a brother who is only a Christian for 5 minutes. He gets the same heaven that Bob gets, that I get, that you get. Just because we're Christian longer doesn't mean we have a better heaven. It's all the same. And that's how I see this parable that is about heaven is talking about. that the last will be first and the first last. Commentaries say, well, that's referring to the Gentiles because they were chosen last to be God's people and not the Jews. And it might be, okay? But it's saying that we're the same regardless of how long we've been a Christian. And the thing about it is, we need to have that grateful heart that we are getting heaven. We need to have that thankful heart that God has given us a home, that Jesus has gone to prepare that mansion for us in heaven. That's what I see this scripture meaning. Let's go to our second parable this morning. It is found in Luke 17, verses 7 through 10. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and recline at the table? Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink? And afterward, then you can go and eat and drink. Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. Can we say that as a Christian? That we are an unworthy servant? That we have only done what God has wanted us to do to be a Christian? You know, we have read and constantly read different commands and different things that have been set down for us as Christians to do to live that Christian life. And that is what we are supposed to do. And again, we need to have that grateful and thankful heart as a Christian that God has given us these guidelines, these commandments, these rules that we are supposed to follow. And if we follow them, if we are a faithful servant, again, we're going to get heaven. We're going to be rewarded for our faithful service when we do our duty. I only have two more scriptures this morning. These emphasize how we as Christians are to live our life while we wait for Jesus to return one day. Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus. Is this not what we just read in 1 Chronicles at the beginning of our lesson? That we are to sing praises to God. We are to share with others, share with each other what happens in our life, how God has blessed us. That's what Paul is saying here. Okay? Just reemphasizing what we read in what's in the Old Testament. The same holds true. We need to give thanks for everything that God has given us. And I've shared this, you know, throughout this month. The air we breathe is from God. The clothes on your back are from God. The cars, trucks, whatever you drive are from God. The job you have, your retirement that you have, your family you have, everything is a blessing from God. And we should not be taking it for granted. We need to thank God. We need to have that grateful heart. And again, be thankful for what God has given us. Oh, we might have aches, we might have pains, we might have, you know, issues, but at least you're alive to have those issues, you know. Thank God. And whatever you do, whatever you say, whatever words come out of your mouth, whatever you do with your hands, make sure that you are remembering God. Whatever you do, do all in the name of Jesus. And don't forget to give thanks. And then our last verse this morning, the last verse for the month, dealing with gratitude and thanksgiving, comes from 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 through 22. Here, Paul is giving his final instructions to the Thessalonians on how to live a Christian life. Again, this applies to us today as Christians. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. And it says brothers, but it's a kind of a generic term. It's sisters too. Okay? You're supposed to help the weak and be patient with all. Verse 15. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil. Somebody's bad to you, you turn your other cheek. You don't repay evil for evil. But always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Okay? So it's not just your family here. It's not just our family around the world, but it's to everyone that we are supposed to do good to. Rejoice always. You having a bad day? Rejoice. Okay? How many times when we have a bad day, when everything's going wrong, do you rejoice? Paul is telling us to rejoice. Pray without ceasing. In other words, continually pray. You can't outpray God. Okay? Give thanks in all circumstances. Again, rejoicing always and giving thanks in all circumstances. We as Christians should be giving thanks to God for everything, all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I'm always constantly repeating or saying Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, to me will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. What is that will? Well, here it is right here. See that no one repays evil, anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. These are the things, brothers and sisters, that we should be doing every day as a Christian, to be doing the will of God. Do not quench the Spirit. When we were baptized, the Holy Spirit enters our body and is there and is giving us guidance, okay? You shouldn't be doing that, okay? You need to listen to the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the advice of the Holy Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. We were talking about that this morning in class, and I always say this, you know, don't take what I preach as the gospel truth. Get in the scriptures and read it and verify that what I am telling you is the truth. And if it's not, let me know. Hold fast what is good. Okay? Hold fast to what is good and abstain from every form of evil. And we can't list all the forms that evil presents itself to us every single day. But we need to abstain from it. We need to do our very best to stay away from the evil that the devil throws out in front of us every single day to get us to sin. The first 2 weeks of the month, we talked about the 12 benefits of having a grateful heart. Last week, I read a Bible story about the children of God and how they were not grateful or have a thanksgiving heart for God with everything that He gave them. Even though God was giving them what they wanted, what they needed, they were not grateful. We don't want to be like the Israelites. We need to recognize everything that God has given us, and we need to have a grateful heart and continually thank God for everything that He has blessed us with every day. Again, we can't out-bless God. Today, we looked at how we need to thank God for our home in heaven. We need to continually give thanks to God for everything He has blessed us with, and we need to share with everyone about the gifts that God has given us. We need to always have a heart filled with gratitude and thanksgiving. I hope you've enjoyed these lessons. I hope you've gotten something from them. I hope they help you to be a better Christian, a stronger Christian. That's what they're for. If there's any way that we can help you this morning, let us know. If you need encouragement, if you need help to have that grateful, thankful heart that God wants us to have, let us know. Let us help you. Let us pray for you. And I encourage you to every day thank God for what He has given you. And let others know how God has helped you. If there's any way we can help you this morning, please let us know as together we stand and sing.